As we heard earlier, one of the holy sites Pope Benedict visited on Tuesday was the Western Wall, or Wailing Wall as it is sometimes known. The wall is part of the retaining wall of the Temple Mount, dating back to a time when a Jewish temple stood there. Israel's ambassador to the Holy See, Mordecai Levy, explains in an interview with my colleague Tracy McClure why this wall is so significant for Jews.
As much as Jews are against icons, according to the third command, in the Bible, I think in Judaism there are not many places of venerations. Synagogue can be anywhere. The most important thing is to have 10 members of a praying community. So the Wailing Wall is the only place which is really enjoys special veneration as a place of veneration, because it is the remnant of the second temple which Herod built, and it was destroyed by the Romans, by Titus. So having had this remnant, made it, of course, for the whole years of diaspora, of exile, a special veneration with the aspiration to come back. This is what the place stands for. It is standing for the aspiration, most of it messianic aspirations, of coming back to the land of ancestors and to rebuild the temple. Now, as long as people are praying in front of the Wailing Wall, this means that they are not thinking of operatively to rebuild the third temple, which is now not the policy neither of Israel nor of the chief rabbinate. But the memory of the destroyed second temple is, of course, kept while being in the Wailing Wall, and therefore it is not, it is also called Western Wall. Israelis would call Western Wall and not Wailing Wall, because they don't have any reason to wail anymore. But we accept both terms.
Israel's ambassador to the Holy See, Mordecai Levy, talking to Tracy McClure. The first holy site visited by Pope Benedict on Tuesday was the Dome of the Rock that sits on the plateau, known to Jews as the Temple Mount and to Muslims as Haram al-Sharif, which means noble sanctuary. The Palestinian Authority's ambassador to the Holy See, Shawki Amali, explains why the dome is so revered by Muslims.
It's the place, you see, for our Muslim brothers, where the Prophet Muhammad has gone to God, you see. And Jerusalem is considered, from Jerusalem, it's the third most sacred city in Islam, after Mecca and Al-Medina. And Jerusalem still has a great significance to the Muslim religion, you see, as it has for the Christians too, and for the Jews. And let us have a solution of compromise to this city. There are so many cities in the world where they could be both, you see, capital of two different entities. I give you the example of Brussels, for instance, from where I come. You can find it's the main place of Flemish government and of Wallon government, and this is the only way. The Israelis could not go on by taking all Jerusalem, building settlements all around it. There are still more than 300,000 Arab Palestinians, in spite of all the Israeli attempts to make them flee.
You're referring to Israeli settlement policy in
settlement
East Jerusalem?
Settlement policy and the policy of not delivering permits to Palestinian Arabs of Jerusalem to build or to repair their houses, or policies of warnings which have been given 1 month ago to more than 1,000 Palestinians which are living in Salwan, in Hayil Bustan, to leave.
In East Jerusalem?
In East Jerusalem, of course, near the Holy Dome.
the Palestinian Authority's ambassador to the Holy See, Chouki Amali, talking to Tracy McClure. The third holy site visited by Pope Benedict was the upper room or cenacle, revered by Christians as the place where Christ ate his last meal with the apostles before his betrayal and crucifixion. Jules Bevilacqua takes a closer look at the history and significance of the upper room through these gospel readings of the events that occurred there.
The disciples recounted what had happened on the road to Emmaus and how they had come to know Jesus in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about all this, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace to you."
And where did all this take place? In the upper room, as it has been called, or the cenaculum or cenacle, the dining hall. Traditionally, in the house of Mary, mother of Mark. The upper floor of a building on Mount Zion, we may read in the guidebook. After the siege of Jerusalem by the Emperor Titus in 70 AD, the first Christians returned to the ruins of their homes. And on Mount Zion, a little Christian settlement grew up around the house of the Last Supper. In the year 135 AD, the Emperor Hadrian visited the ruins of Jerusalem, and at that time wrote St. Epiphanius in the late 4th century.
The Christians still possessed the little church in which the apostles assembled after the ascension of our Lord. It stood in the quarter of Zion that was spared when the city was destroyed.
The upper room would not have been a church as such in the apostles' time, but early pilgrims to Palestine all mention a fine church built on the site. And as one writer puts it, a steady tradition has claimed the buildings that have risen, fallen, and risen again on this spot as those built on the site of the upper church of the apostles. Here was the place where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, where he appeared to his disciples, and where the Holy Spirit came down on them at Pentecost.
With thanks there to my colleagues Jill Bevilacqua and Sean Patrick Lovett for that report.